In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And as St. Peter said on Mount Tabor, the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good that we are here. My friends, this is a wonderful day today. We're celebrating the feast of St. Charbel. You know, some of you, a lot of people kind of have an idea who he is, but a lot of us in the Latin Church don't know a lot about him because he is a Maronite or a Lebanese Catholic. You know, the Maronites are obviously with the Pope. They're one of the 23 different Eastern rites that are part of the Catholic faith, and Lebanese Catholic, who's a monk. I know who he is because I've been going to Australia where I speak at many Maronite parishes there. And he is an incredible miracle worker. You know, it's often said that other than the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Charbel has the most miracles attributed to any saint in the history of the church. Other than Mary, number two is St. Charbel. And I got an awesome story to share with you about St. Charbel later in the show. So if you want to be part of the show, if you want to just share maybe your experience with St. Charbel, how much he's meant to you in your life, today is his day today. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to take a quick moment to congratulate Rolando Moreno, who is now the new general manager at Modern Day E-Radio here in Portland, who's an EWTN affiliate. Patrick Ryan was the former general manager. He's a great guy from Texas, moved up here to take the job at Modern Day E-Radio, and now looks like he's retiring and maybe going back to Texas. I know his mom is still alive. He may be going back home. But they've hired Rolando Moreno. Rolando and I have been friends for many, many years. He is a graduate of the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family Life in Washington, D.C., really sharp guy, really intelligent, and I think he's going to be a great fit there at Modern Day E-Radio. So congratulations, Rolando, and when my travels calm down, we'll have to go out and celebrate, you know, get dinner or something like that. But great, great guy, and congratulations everyone there at Modern Day E-Radio, EWTN affiliate in my town here of Portland, Oregon. And speaking of Portland, I'm going to be speaking tonight at the Grotto. It's very rare that I speak in my own archdiocese, but the best part for me is it's a 5-minute drive from my house. So it's like right down the street. So I'll be speaking tonight at the Grotto, 6 p.m. If you're in a Portland metro area, come down to the Grotto and join us. The Grotto, by the way, is the National Shrine for Our Lady of Sorrows, run by the Servite Order. So it's the National Shrine for Our Lady of Sorrows. Beautiful. In fact, it's one of the most visited tourist spots in the entire state of Oregon. You know, it's like top three, I think, the Grotto, along with Crater Lake and, you know, other things that people want to come here to see, Multnomah Falls. But the Grotto is right up there. So I'll be speaking again tonight, 6 p.m. It's a free event, open to anyone. So come on down. I'm going to talk about effective evangelization, how we effectively share the truth of our faith in love. So that's tonight at 6 p.m. We got a question from a listener. His name is Christian. And he says, Deacon Harold, I want to ask, I just want to ask because you're an expert in theology. I don't know about that, but I'll give it my best shot here. He goes, are these two questions and answers correct? Is the correct understanding of the Catholic faith to say that when Jesus suffered and died, that only his human nature suffered and died and not the divine person, right? That's his question. From, I don't know if Christian is asking this question or he got it from someplace else, but that's his question. When Jesus suffered and died, did only his human nature suffer and die, or and not the divine person? All right. Okay. So here's the answer that he came up with. He says, no, it is not correct. When the Lord Jesus died, it is proper to say that God died. The reason is this. The subject of the actions of Jesus is the divine person, i.e. God. Nature, in metaphysics, is the principle of operation. The subject is always the person in rational beings. That's his first thing. That answer that... I'll talk about that. So his second one is, in which nature did Jesus, parentheses, God, die? In his human nature or in his divine natures or both? Now, here's the answer that's definitely incorrect, and I'll be addressing here. Jesus did not die in both natures, nor in his divine nature, but in his human nature only. And his human nature means that through the human nature, the divine person of Jesus suffered and died. The human nature is the principle that makes it possible for the divine person to suffer and die. That's a problem. All right. So let's understand what's going on here. So what we're talking about here is the hypostatic union. The fact that before Jesus, the Word existed with God in a Trinity. So one divine nature with one divine intellect, one divine will in three, what's called hypostases, or three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. So there was never a time that there was, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, there was never a time that there was not. There was never a time that God never existed. So God is existence. God is being itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Trinity, sharing one divine nature, intellect, divine intellect, and divine will from all eternity. So they were sharing, the Father speaks the Word, And the Word gives itself completely and totally back to the Father. The love between the Father and the Son generates the Holy Spirit, who gives love and life back to the Father and the Son. So that was called circumcision. The relationship between God and himself has existed from all eternity. All right. So when the second person of the Trinity, the Word, became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he assumed a human nature in addition to his divine nature without any confusion, change, separation, or division. All right. So when Jesus took on a human nature, it means what? In order to have a human nature, he had a body and a soul. Right. And so within the soul is the intellect and the will. So when Jesus died, you cannot say he died in his divine person, because God in his divinity cannot die. Death did not exist until Adam and Eve fell. That's when death came into the world. But God himself is outside of space, outside of time. No death can touch God whatsoever. That's why the Word had to become flesh, so that he could die in his human nature. Why? The separation of body from the soul from the body is the definition of death. Okay, so he had to assume a body in order to die, right? To conquer the worst effect of sin, which is separation from God forever. So to say that, yes, so we can say God died. Absolutely, we can say God died. But we can't say that he died in his divine person. That's impossible. He had to take on a human body, a human nature, so that he could suffer death to show us, who all as human beings are going to experience death, that not even the worst effect of sin is greater than God's merciful love. Right. So I hope that helps. And if you want more information, go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can go to paragraphs 468, 469, and 470. So you can see what the church teaches on that. All right. So I hope that answers your question, Christian. Great question. Like I said, I'm not sure if you were the one who came up with that or not. But that's the explanation. All right. Very good. So again, we're talking about Saint Charbel today. Great, great saint of the church. And I hope you're able to share your experience of Saint Charbel. Maybe you just want to know more about him. Maybe you've had a miracle in your life attributed to St. Charbel, or you have a devotion to him. We would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I'm grateful to be with all of you today, and especially with the great crew that brings you this show. I'm talking about Vanessa Sanchez, and I think Pedro Quiles is doing social media today. And of course, our producer, Ace McKay. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm good, man. I love the idea of reminding ourselves that we are a spiritual being having a human experience, because, again, that's another way to understand how Jesus walked, what he was here to do, to understand us better. And so oftentimes we typically get those flipped.
Yeah, Yeah, and so Jesus taking on a human nature did not diminish anything of his divine nature. He's still totally, fully, completely God.
Yeah.
That assumed also a human nature with body, soul, intellect, and will, along with his divine nature as well. So, you know, how, I mean, to fully understand how all of that works, you have to be God, right?
Right.
But at least we can know through great philosophers like St. Thomas Aquinas and through the teachings of the church over the years how we can express the reality of Jesus assuming or the divine second person of Trinity assuming a human nature without any confusion, change, separation, or division.
Amen.
All right. Excited today to be talking about Saint Charbel, whose feast day is today. The great Maronite monk would love for you to join us today. Share your experience of Saint Charbel. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
That effect.
Lots going on.
I know. Wake the neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Crank that. Oh, absolutely.
Did your mom ever have to tell you to, Harold, you turn that down?
Yeah. A few times, you know, especially when I was, you know, the way I learned how to sing was listening to Queen records. So I'd have the Queen record on. And I'd like, for example, Jealousy off of Jazz. Mm. You know, doing the harmony parts, I'd sing one part, then put the needle back, let it play again, sing another part, put the needle back until I could, at least all the parts I could hear.
Sure.
To try to sing those. And that's how I learned how to sing. So sometimes I'd be like totally into a song. And she's, well, I'm not going to tell you what my pet name was, but she goes, turn that down. Okay, mommy. Yeah, okay.
If I tell you.
I'm just so into it. You don't realize how loud it is and that it's bothering other people. You think they're enjoying it just like you are.
Sure. If I tell you the pet name my mom has for me, will you tell me yours?
Okay.
All right. So I'll go first. I was Bunky because I was a chubby little baby. So for most of my life, it was Bunky. So. She still likes to sneak that one in. I'm like, hey. So,
And I was Harry. So it's like H-A-R-R-Y, Harry.
Uh-huh.
Except, remember, because Barbados, where I was born and where I lived for a while before coming to the United States, was a British colony. And so sometimes they have British pronunciation. So Harry, or you know, is what they called me. In fact, my siblings still call me that to this day, and they're the only ones that ever call me that. So,
only ones you let get away.
It sounds weird coming from anybody else.
Agreed. Now, of course, Jack Williams will probably use both of them at the radio conference. Bet you $5 on that right now.
Well, you know what I'll do is I'll find out from his amazing wife, Johnette, what his pet name was and start calling him.
I like how you think.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast day of Saint Charbel Makhlouf, who was a Lebanese monk, who's a Maronite Catholic. And he's an incredible miracle worker. Today is his feast day. Now, I know that there are people out there that have been impacted or have a devotion to Saint Charbel. We would love to hear from you today. This is an amazing saint in the church that many of us in the Latin Rite don't know a whole lot about, but we need to know about this saint. In fact, in Portland here, there's a parish, Saint Charbel, a Maronite Catholic church. And one of my really good friends is Charbel, and I'll share a story about him in the next segment. But if you have a special devotion to St. Charbel or just want to share your experience with him, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we all know what it's like to turn 10, and so we want to celebrate with KFUZ, one of our affiliates, EWTN Radio Partner in Clarkston, Washington. John and his team there doing their part with the Clarkston Catholic Radio. So from all of your friends at EWTN, happy 10th birthday at 103.3 FM.
All right, my my friends. It is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and which we hear in every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. You know, when Jesus talks about the law and the prophets and the writings, that's the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. So the writings, the Nevi'im, would have included the Psalms, right? So this was the hymnal of our of the Israelites, and is our, in a sense, our hymnal, since we hear it at every Mass, whether it's a weekday Mass or Sunday Mass, we always have the Psalms, right? And even the Liturgy of the Hours, we have, I mean, most of the Liturgy of the Hours is the Psalms. So very, very important book of the Bible as part of our foundation for our liturgical worship. And today we're going to take a look, we're going to finish looking at Psalm 137. All right, so obviously 137 is book five of the Psalms. Now, this is one of the Psalms. It's not an imprecatory Psalm like Psalm 58, 83, and 109 that are not included at all in the breviary. This is where part of the Psalm is not included because of its, it's called a quote-unquote cursing psalm. And again, not foul language, but the idea that the language here is very strong, okay? Although this one's not bad, although the famous one is this last line, which we'll get to in a few minutes here. So Psalm 137, we already looked at the first five verses. We're going to pick up at verse 6 and work our way to the end of the psalm, which is verse 9. So this is a psalm that's reflecting back on the Babylonian exile. So this is when, probably during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, when he came in and took over the Israelites and enslaved them. And so this psalm is a reflection of during that time, where it's kind of petitioning God to bring us back to our former glory. You know, God, don't forget us, because now we're abandoned here in this foreign land. And the sentiment of this psalm definitely picks that up. So it started off, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and wept, remembering Zion. On the poplars that grew there, we hung up our harps. And he said, our oppressors asked us for songs. How can we sing the song of the Lord on alien soil? You know, so, that, you know, how could we sing with joy? How could we, you know, praise when we're in this foreign land? You know, we pick up at verse 6. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my palate, if I remember you not, if I prize not Jerusalem as the first of my joys, right? So this is very interesting. So part of the reason why they were in exile, they were not faithful to God, right? Remember, the Israelites were the chosen people. They were the ones that were chosen by God to be his signs and witnesses, his example, his exemplars, his witnesses to the power of his love and to his truth to all the pagan nations around them, right? So the pagan nations were supposed to see Israel and say, whoa, look, you know, we have our, like, our pagan gods, but wait a minute, look what the God of Israel is doing. Look how he's working with his people, you know, and hopefully bring them into the relationship with the real God, not the false pagan gods that they have, but to help bring them into a relationship with the living God, right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when the people did not do that, you know, the natural consequences is, you know, God said, well, if you don't want to follow me and follow my laws and follow my teachings, and you want to be like everybody else around you, okay, well, you don't want me to rule over you, then Babylon will. And so he allowed King Nebuchadnezzar and the Amorites and the Azariah, all the other ones that oppressed Israel, that those things happened because Israel was not faithful to God. And the natural consequence is, well, God will just let the course of their decision, right, their free will decision, has ramifications, right? It has effects in their lives. And these are some of the effects, slavery. And so now they're saying, oh, let my tongue cleave to my... Now they're like, oh, we're remembering Jerusalem as the first of my joys. Well, why couldn't they remember that while they were sinning? Right? Because that happens to us, right? We forget about God for a while. You know, we're so wrapped up in our stuff, so wrapped up in what's going on around us that sometimes we forget about God for a little bit, you know, and we turn our backs on God. And when that happens, You know, sometimes the natural consequence of our turning our back on God is that God doesn't turn away from us, but he allows the natural consequence of our turning away from him to happen, which sometimes, you know, may lead to some behaviors or decisions that are damaging to us. But see, God allows that in his permissive will, allows that to happen. Why? Because we need to learn something from that experience. We can grow from that experience, right? You know, because life is not without temptations. We're talking about Saint Charbel today. Even Saint Charbel was, in fact, I saw a movie about his life on EWTN television. You know, they aired a story about Saint Charbel, and it talked about how he faced a temptation of women, because he was evidently an attractive man when he was younger, when he first wanted to become a monk, and some of the women there saw him as, you know, as someone that could be a great husband and father for them. So there were some temptations there with women, which Saint Charbel prayed and fought against. You know, it was, again, depicted in the movie by EWTN. So now Israel here in this psalm is remembering what happened in the past. And then he continued, "Remember, O Lord, against the children of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, and they said, tear it down to its foundations." Right, so now we're getting to the imprecatory part of the psalm here. You know, so now they're saying, when they came in and invaded us, they said, tear it down, destroy Jerusalem, tear it down to its foundations. You know, and so that's what happens sometimes in a secular culture with more relativism and subjective individualism. You know, they want to tear down the foundations that we tried to lay in their lives. Remember, God builds the house of our children's lives with and for them. Our job as parents, as teachers, as clergy, as educators, as catechists, is to help lay a foundation in the life of our children so they can build the house of their life with God, right? But sometimes the culture tries to tear away at those foundations, you know, so in order to separate us from God. Right. And sometimes we fall for the lie, the pleasure of the sin feels good, or, you know, our, you know, we're attracted to, you know, our hearts want the truth, but we're attracted to the false truth of the culture. You know, so it says, you know, so they're remembering here, tear it down. Remember when they said, tear it down, you know, when they were tearing down the foundations of our relationship with you, O Lord. And now we get to the part that's not included in the breviary. Okay, these two verses are left out. And so this is kind of like the end of the psalm. It says, "O daughter Babylon, destroyer, blessed whoever repays you the payment you paid to us. Blessed who," and then now we see a parallelism here. "Blessed whoever grasps and shatters your children on the rock." Okay, let's take a look at this. Now, what is not being said here is that, you know, remember, eye for an eye. They're not saying, we're going to do this to your children. What they're saying is that this is what you did to us, and so may you receive the repayment in the same way that you paid to us. So blessed whoever grasps and shatters your children on the rock. So you just, when you came in and invaded, you destroyed our family. You killed our children. You killed the ones that we love. You eroded the foundation of our relationship with the Lord. And so they said, blessed whoever does the same thing to you that you did to us. Right? Yes, there's strong language here, right? But the idea is not necessarily actually killing innocent children. That's not the idea. The idea here is an eye for an eye. May someone do to you, Babylon, what you did to us. Now remember, Jesus came in and healed all of this, right? No longer an eye for an eye. Jesus says, turn the other cheek, right? If someone takes your cloak, give them your tunic as well, that whole thing, right? So, but that's the imprecatory nature of this psalm. All right, our saint is Saint Charbel, great miracle worker of the church, a Maronite Catholic, and love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN.
Woo! That's some fingers.
Yeah. See, the thing is, he's not even shredded, but it's the choice of the notes,
right,
and the phrasing. You know, that's something I think if you're a talented guitarist, like, that's something that, yeah, you can learn the theory,
yeah,
and the different modes and scales and things like that, but to put them together in a way that's interesting, that's moving, that's engaging, you know, that's a gift in itself. So you look at some of the best players, whatever instrument,
sure,
you know, they're gifted in just, it's not how fast you can play or chops. Sometimes it's just placement of the notes and phrasing.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a good example of that. You know, the licks that he's playing aren't that hard, but just like, oh, how do you think about that? Oh, right, that was a really good choice there. You know, comes to mind, you know, obviously Jimi Hendrix, right?
I mean, sure.
You know, considered by many to be the greatest guitar player ever.
And that's why I've heard so many guitarists say, you know, like, if you're playing in a band, come prepared, but not just so that you know the songs, but also so that you can ad lib and feel the music rather than just playing what's on the page.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Hendrix, he wasn't a shredder, but songwriting, notes, selection, phrasing, mm-hmm, beautiful. Little Wing, you know, awesome. And Stuart Copeland from The Police as a drummer, you know.
So good.
Same thing. Just dynamics are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really good. So I appreciate good music. And we got to acknowledge, you know, another musician died this week, Chuck Mangione.
Yeah.
You know, the great trumpeter, and had that famous song back in the day.
Still a great song, yeah.
Oh, that's, oh, yeah. You hear that, just it just brings you back, you know. Rest in peace for him as well.
Yeah, and also Hulk Hogan passed today as well, so just been a very heavy week,
man,
for Gen X.
Wow. Like you said, I think our childhood's dying before
it
us.
It feels
here.
That way. Gosh.
Yeah. Oh, man. God. Well, let's pray for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, we don't know, but hopefully went to the Lord this week.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Siri's listening to Beacon of Truth, and today is the feast day of Saint Charbel Makhlouf, who was a Lebanese monk, Maronite Catholic. And today is a glorious day for the Maronite Catholics and the Maronite Catholic Church. Would love to hear, if you're a Maronite Catholic and you want to share your experience, or if you're not, if you're a Latin Rite Catholic, whatever, if Saint Charbel moved you in some way, if you had a miracle granted maybe through his intercession, or you just have a strong devotion to him, give us a call. We would love to hear from you so that more people can find out how awesome this saint is. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, we want to remind you tonight, the world over is on EWTN TV and radio, and Chris Bedford going to be talking about the rise of socialist mayoral candidates in major U.S. cities, as well as Gordon Chang talking about policy experts for the latest in U.S. trade strategy. So with that, along with the everyday conversation happening with Raymond Arroyo tonight, 8 Eastern, it's the world over with EWTN radio and television.
All right, we're talking about Saint Charbel today on his feast day, the great Maronite monk and priest. On his feast day, they would love to hear from you, to share your experience, story, devotion to Saint Charbel. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Joan is calling from Virginia, listening on Sirius XM. Joan, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a Maronite Catholic, and I have a great devotion to St. Charbel. I am particularly struck by his humility. And I love the story of one time he was accused of something by one of his brothers in the monastery. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say anything about not doing whatever it was. I think something was taken, and he was accused of it. He got down on his knees in front of his brother and asked for forgiveness for something he didn't do. So I really call on St. Charbel to help me with humility as only he can do.
I love that, Joan. And you know, to your point, Joan, whenever you see a picture of St. Charbel, painting, His eyes are always down, right? You never see him looking at you. His eyes are always down. There's only one, in fact, one picture I've ever seen where St. Charbel's eyes were open, was actually looking. But most of the time, because of his great humility, his eyes are always, his head is down, his eyes are looking down. Or if he's facing forward, his eyes are looking, you know, toward the ground, or his eyes are closed. And you're right. His humility is truly awe-inspiring, you know. And that's a great lesson for all of us. You know, humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. Right, that's true humility, and that was something that very prominent in the life of Saint Charbel, and should be a great inspiration for us as well. So, thank you so much for that awesome call to share, Joan, sharing about the humility of this great healing miracle saint, Saint Charbel. And that's what we're talking about today on the feast day of Saint Charbel. If you're a Maronite Catholic, or if you just want to share your experience or a devotion to Saint Charbel, we would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Tina is a first-time caller, calling from the great state of Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Tina, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, yes. Thank you for having me on. And thank you for all the words and wisdom you give every day to me and my husband. I just wanted to share that in 2020, we experienced my son, who never has had this before, have a seizure. And the night after, we were trying to figure out what was going on with him, running tests on him. I was watching Father John Paul. Sorry, I get emotional talking about this. And when I heard Father John Paul talk about St. Charbel, I went to my knees and I prayed for him, my son, to figure out what was going on with him and for the Lord to heal him. During that time, and not only did he give myself comfort, and the Holy Spirit gave me comfort, but also gave my husband the strength to be there with my son, who at the time, since it was the pandemic, there was only one parent who could be with him. So it was hard for both of us to not be there with him. But I just feel that he gave us the strength and allowed my son not to have more seizures as he grew up. And we found a solution for him. And we have a great neurologist now who has helped us through his medical history. And I just wanted to share that because I hope that everyone can go to him to pray to him if you have any illnesses. And that's what I wanted to share today.
Well, thank you, Tina, for sharing that. That's absolutely beautiful. You know, and this, you know, Tina, what you shared with us is so beautiful because about the power of prayer, you know, and the power of intercession, you know, to the saints. So obviously, Jesus is the divine physician, right? He's the one that does the miracles. But sometimes he uses people like Saint Charbel and many other saints through whom, you know, the graces are granted through them, you know, but all the graces come from Jesus, of course. But they're allowed to be that conduit through which the God's power and presence flows. And St. Charbel is one of the greatest in the history of the church. You know, so that the fact that you prayed to him, asked for his intercession, and sometimes he even shows up personally. I mean, you know, his spirit showed. I was like, what? Wait a minute. Who is this? You know, I mean, he's just an incredible, incredible saint. And I'm hoping that EW10 will run that movie about his life, you know, because again, Saint Charbel, very powerful saint, very powerful intercessor, especially for healing. So, you know, as Tina's son found healing, his seizures didn't get worse. Through the intercession of St. Charbel, you know, if it's God's will, he can do the same thing for you. There are many, 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 many stories about the power of intercession and prayer. You know, we live in a culture that says, well, prayer is worthless. You know, prayer doesn't produce anything, right? Because they're measuring production by, you know, a GDP, you know, gross domestic product or some kind of economic scale. No, our scale is spiritual. Our scale is heavenly, you know, and that's where our hope lies in, because ultimately all this stuff is going to pass. All the stuff in the world, everything's going to pass. The only thing that's going to exist in the end is our relationship with the Lord in the heavenly Jerusalem, right? So beautiful call, Tina. Thank you so much for sharing your experience of Saint Charbel. That's our saint that we're talking about today on his feast day. Would love to hear from you. If you're a Maronite Catholic, because Saint Charbel was a Maronite Lebanese monk and priest who spent most of his life in solitude, right, in a monastery and then in solitude, would love to hear from you today. Saint Charbel is a powerful intercessor for miracles in the life of the church. Again, it's argued that outside of the, although I think Dominicans have someone that they would say is number two, but other than the Blessed Virgin Mary, most miracles of any saint in the history of the church are attributed to Saint Charbel. So we'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Even if you have a devotion to St. Charbel, we'd love to hear about that. 833-288-3986. Rose is calling, another first-time caller, calling from Texas again, from San Antonio, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Rose, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. I appreciate it. So like I was mentioning to the screen caller, I was in an accident when I was 9 years old, right? So in that time, I had a lot of people praying for me, and I've recovered from that, and it's been like more than 30 years, right? But when I woke up from my coma, I distinctly remember seeing the image of being charbel all over my room, because a lot of people brought little stampitas of him, right? And now, and everybody, like, they would always tell me, well, pray to Saint Charbel, right? And so I thought he was a Mexican saint, right? I never knew anything about him. They're just like, just pray to him. So I would, right? It wasn't until I got married to my husband, who's a Maronite, so now I'm a Maronite, that I see his statue at our church at St. George in San Antonio, that I'm like, hey, this guy, this saint has been a part of my life for like a really long time. I know by the grace of God that it's been him that's helped me out several times. Like I've even seen him like walk in our church, you know, like, and I know it's him, especially like when I'm praying very fervently for my petition. Like my current petition right now is for healing of my kidney, because I'm stage 4 kidney failure. But I know God has his reasons why we have these issues, but I know it's because of things like him that I can endure whatever it is that I'm going through right now.
Wow. Amen. Well, Rose, please also be assured of all of our prayers as well. As part of the EWTN family, all of us will be praying for you for your healing. And, you know, Jesus is the divine physician, but he uses Saint Charbel in very miraculous ways. And so glad to hear that he's been a part of your life for a very long time. He's an awesome miracle worker. He's a beautiful saint in the church. And, you know, when you said you're a Maronite, you know, I want people to really understand that you do not leave the Catholic faith, right? Maronites are part of the Catholic Church under the Pope, you know, and all of that. It's just a beautiful expression of the faith. In fact, you know, I'm by ritual, I have faculties to function as a deacon in the Maronite Rite in Australia. So Sayyidina Tarabe, who I guess, you know, in the West we say Archbishop for the Maronite Church in Australia, has granted me faculties to serve. In fact, he gave me a book about the Maronite Rite and said, if you can learn this, then I'll give you faculties to serve as a deacon whenever you're here. You know, and I've done this. I just love that Maronite Rite. The prayers are just so beautiful. And the Kadishat is my favorite prayer. Kadishat, Aloho, Kadishat, Hayatono. I love that. You know, so it's a very beautiful rite. And I encourage all of you, you know, if you're in St. George's in San Antonio, wherever there's a Maronite church in your area, there's one here in Portland, Oregon, St. Charbel in Southeast Portland, go and visit them. and really experience the beauty of the Maronite rite. For me, it's just, I love it, you know, it's beautiful and transformative. And so, yeah, go and see that beautiful expression of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. All right, we're talking about St. Charbel today on his feast day. If you are a Maronite Catholic, or you just want to share your experience of how you have a devotion to St. Charbel, or maybe he's worked through his intercession and had a miracle in life, would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Stella is reaching out to us on YouTube. Says that, you know, Stella says, I was introduced to St. Charbel through a friend. And when my husband left me and our two children, I turned to St. Charbel in prayer, asking for his intercession. All right. So 3 years later, she goes, her husband returned, and that she was able to reconcile and become a family again. And she credits St. Charbel with the restoration of her family. Wow, that is awesome. Because usually when you hear people talking about St. Charbel, it's usually some kind of medical intervention, right? For, you know, some kind of disease or brain tumor or something like that. And they reach out to St. Charbel. But this is one of the few I've heard, you know, where through his intercession helped to bring a family back together. That is awesome. You know, because St. Charbel understands that the trials of family life. I mean, he lost his dad when he was when he was 3 years old. His father died. And again, if EW10 re-airs the movie about St. Charbel, definitely watch it. You know, it's definitely worth watching. It's a beautiful depiction of the life of this amazing saint. So despite his father's death, you know, his mother decided to remarry. And she married a husband who was upright and devoted, was a deacon actually. becoming a deacon. At 14 years old, Saint Charbel felt called to monastic life, you know, and went off to become a monk, you know. So at an early age, eventually. He took his first vows. His name was Joseph, changed his name to Charbel. And after the Antiochian martyr that died in 107 AD, and after his studies, he was ordained to the priesthood in 1859 when he was 31 years old. So, yeah, so if you're having trouble in your marriage, St. Charbel, you know, like with Stella, is someone you can call on. So we're talking about St. Charbel today. Would love to hear your experience of this amazing healing saint, this Maronite Catholic priest and monk. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So I want to take this time to share a story, true story, of experience of a very good friend of mine, also named Charbel Raish, who is the head of Perusia Media in Australia and also the EWTN affiliate there in Australia. And I know this story is true because his mother, who's still alive, and I know his mother well. I visit her every time I go to Australia. She's an amazing woman of faith. And this is the story. So Charbel has five brothers. He's one of six. And when his mother was pregnant with Charbel, she started, you know, about the middle of the pregnancy, started having some bleeding, some severe bleeding. And so it got to the point where the doctors became concerned for her health and said it would probably be a good idea to terminate the pregnancy. So obviously she didn't want to do that. You know, she's a very strong, very devout Catholic, Maronite Catholic. And so she's prayed to St. Charbel, right? So her recourse was to St. Charbel. She prayed, St. Charbel, if you allow this child to be born, I will put him in a black robe, because monks wore black robes. I'll put him in a black robe for a year, right? I'll put him in a black robe for a year, and I will call him, I will name him after you, and I will put him in a black robe for a year in honor of you, St. Charbel. And what happened? She woke up the next morning and her bleeding stopped. It completely stopped. Right. And so she and so Saint Charbel was born, and keeping her promise, she took him to the church, baptized him, put him in a little black robe for a year, you know, and named him Charbel. And so Charbel carries the name of this great saint through the intercession of his mother. I heard this story from his mother myself. I heard Charbel tell this story, of course, but I also heard it directly from his mom as well. So look how powerful this saint is. Look how powerful our faith is. You know, prayer is not worthless. Prayer is not useless. God hears and answers our prayers, and sometimes uses great intercessors like Saint Charbel, or like the Blessed Virgin Mary, or like other miracle workers in the church. We see this in the early church, you know, Saint Peter, you know, healing people in the name of Jesus, you know, even when Jesus sent the 72 out, you know, in preparation, they were able to work miracles and cast out demons in the name of Jesus. So the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is powerful, 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 powerful. So we celebrating this amazing saint, this Maronite priest and monk, Saint Charbel Makhlouf today. If you have an experience of Saint Charbel, just want to share maybe your devotion to him and how much he means to you, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, part of the Surrender Novena, which I've been praying, I mentioned the Surrender Novena a number of times throughout the you know, year and a half that we've had this show. You know, and Surrender Novena, the day seven of the 9-day Novena, day seven says this, important for us to remember. I perform miracles. This was revealed to St. Padre Pio's spiritual director for a while there when he was in the monastery. I perform, this is Jesus speaking through, you know, to this Franciscan. I perform miracles in proportion to your full surrender to me and to your not thinking of yourselves. I sow treasure trove of graces when you are in the deepest poverty. No person of reason, no thinker, has ever performed miracles, not even among the saints. He does divine works whosoever surrenders to God. So don't think about it anymore, because your mind is acute, and for you it is very hard to see evil and to trust in me and to not think of yourself. Do this for all your needs. Do this, all of you, and you will see great continual silent miracles. I will take care of things. I promise this to you. Right? So that's the prayer for the novena, the Surrender Novena for day seven. But I love that part. No person of reason, no thinker has ever performed miracles, even among the saints. He does divine works whosoever surrenders to God. So that's the key for God's divine mercy and power working through people like Saint Charbel and other miracle workers in the church. Complete surrender to God, right? That God is the one performing the miracle in and through them. And that's why I think why Saint Charbel is one of the model saints for humility, recognizing that God is doing things through him. That as, and I'm sure Saint Charbel would have said, you know, I'm weak, I'm just a sinner, you know, but God is able to use sinners for his great honor and his great glory. You know, we don't have to be perfect to be instruments of God's power and God's love. You know, I love Dr. Scott Hahn, and he always says that he's a sinner, you know, but yet look what God is able to do through people like theologians like him and with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Look what he did with Mother Angelica. Oh my goodness. You know, starting one of the in my opinion, the greatest Catholic, television radio network in the world, you know, and how a miracle was done through her, a healing. Mother Angelica herself received a healing, you know, again, through intercession and through laying on of hands and through complete surrender to God. You know, just quickly, Sandy on YouTube, suddenly have Def Leppard when listening to this welcome back intro. Well, love these renditions you guys do. All right. Awesome. All right, my friends, great show today talking about St. Charbel. And tomorrow, we have another great show. We come back, St. James the Greater, whose feast day, this great apostle, Peter, James, and John, is his feast day tomorrow. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting PodcastCentral at EW10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, in these intercession of St. Charbel, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.